B-Pod Studios.
Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. Here are the Bankroll Boys. Who you got?
It's Over Under 985. It's the Bankroll Boys. I'm Joe Murray alongside Dan Lifshatz, who is just somewhere. I don't know where he was.
I was just in San Diego for 4 days, Monday through Thursday. Going to be in San Diego Monday through Thursday for the next 4 weeks.
It's
gonna
be a they long missed the Chargers time. At all?
Actually, you'd be surprised. Half of them screw the Chargers. Half of them go Chargers. You know, they want to root for them, but they can't. You know what I mean?
Yep. That should be interesting who they're going to be rooting for this weekend. And we'll get into the playoff games, a four pack this weekend of playoff games in the divisional round. One thing I did want to start with, Dan, is just a couple of losses from last week.
Yep.
So I think mine was one of the worst in a long time. The Alabama 5.5. That was one of the worst, I think, in a long time. And I don't know what led me there. But you had the under. And I know people might shit on you or say, what a bad pick. You know that the opening line was 61, right?
Yeah, I know. I got it late. I actually took it at 59 in my book because I got it a few days earlier and was deciding whether or not to put it out as a play. It didn't matter. It still lost. To be honest with you, I thought the under was still the right side. I mean, there was a lot of big scoring earlier. You're talking about a pick six, that doesn't happen in the under hits. I mean, listen, there were 60 points in the game. The over-under was 57. If people are going to give us a hard, if you're going to give me a hard time over a three-point loss, I mean, so be it. I've definitely made worse picks on the podcast before. I mean, what, the main pick, they lost by 45. I mean, so, that there's definitely been worse picks I've given out. So it is what it is.
There's definitely been worse. First half, Alabama didn't work out. So
yep.
Just to take a couple of losses off the bat, I'll remember the national championship game this year because I think I got a little lucky last year when Alabama came back and won.
Yeah, I think that, that game did not go the way I saw it going until the second half. I thought that Clemson would come out, and I thought, as I said on the podcast last week, Clemson would eventually cover and maybe win. And I thought they had a good chance. I just thought that Bama was going to be good enough in the first half and steady enough in the first half, as they have been all year, that they would cover that. And clearly, I was wrong. So, Bama -3, first half is a loss. Bama Clemson under 57 is a loss. And we can move in the NFL, which was slightly more optimistic for us.
Oh, God. So I went 3-1. My PP, I'm cold on PPs, people. Fade or follow? If you faded, you're winning money. I lost the Bears. I hit everything else. But there was a little bit of controversy, Dan Lifshatz. We're recording this podcast from parts unknown on a Friday night after 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern time.
Yep.
This is something we do not do. A lot of people get on us because we do our podcast on Thursday mornings. So now we're a day away from the Saturday games and 2 days out. So the lines are pretty close here. But last week we gave out Seattle 2.5, or we discussed. We didn't give it out.
We leaned Seattle 2.5, right.
And before kickoff, I picked the money line. You'd pick Dallas. Both bets hit. And lines change, information changes. I'm glad everybody won because it shut everybody up. But at the same time, I really do think you have to wait to get all your information. Who's injured? What happened the night before? There's a lot of things that go into it, and that's why I think betting before kickoff sometimes is one of your best strategies.
I think it is and it isn't. It depends on your bankroll. It depends on the liquidity that you have, in my opinion. Look, I think that when we both leaned aside on the podcast, I think that listeners really thought that that was the side that we should be on. I received some information about the game. I'm not going to share it, but the fact is that my opinion changed, and that happens. And that's why I leave my DMs open, guys. You can always feel free to DM me and ask if I'm still, you know, still like a side on a play. If I have a PP on it, you don't have to ask because my PPs don't change. So my podcast plays are what they are. I'm not changing my opinion on those. I locked those in for a reason. Liens can change because you get information. People are out. Happens. But my plays are what they are. And I think that goes the same for you, Joe. Once you put a play in, it is what it is. We're not going to change sides on a podcast play. But if, you know, we have a lien on the podcast and, you know, we decide something else, you want to get some information whether we're still leaning that way, feel free to DM me or Joe, tweet Joe. We'll get back to you. That's just how it is. I know that can be frustrating. I understand where you guys are coming from completely. So I apologize, but I'm just being... We're being open about it now. If you have a question, just ask us.
And the other thing here is, like, we're giving you our pick. You make your decision. Like, trust me, like, 3-1 in the NFL is pretty good considering it was divisional weekend. And there's a lot of stats that goes behind wildcard weekend that goes into divisional weekend, which we'll get to in just a bit. It's over under 985. I'm Joe Murray. He's Dan Lifshatz. That's last week. We're on to this week. Just one thing I wanted to bring up quickly. It's Friday night, so I watched a lot of NBA, and I even watched a great college game between Indiana
and Maryland.
Maryland, I want. Yeah. They covered. Oh, they're actually the little backdoor three there at the end.
They did not cover, so Maryland was up by 6. I actually leaned Maryland minus the 5.5. I think it ended up at 5, but leaned them. I actually didn't play anything tonight but 2 NHL games, split those. So, I lost, like, you know, 10 cents of juice. I really didn't lose much. It was a boring night. A couple nights ago, I crushed it, Joe. So, I've been actually doing pretty well. My PPs have not been doing great, as you said. But I'm ready for tomorrow. It's going to be a nice board.
All right. One thing I wanted to bring up today in the NBA, NBC Sports Washington, they were trying something tonight that was called predict the outcome or predict the next play, something to that degree. It seemed like an in-game bet. Like at the arena. So the Washington Wizards were trying it, and, you know, will Bradley Beal, you know, get a steal in this possession? And then you could text it into the station. And then, like, obviously, like, they must have gave something away if you got the most points or whatever. But they're trying to bring this into the NBA or in the NFL. And I love the idea that it's starting there in Washington tonight. I'm curious. I haven't really heard much about it. I'll look more into it tomorrow. But in-game betting, it's for real. And I'm glad the NBA's in it. And I'll tell you, when you go to some of these boring-ass games, hell, I'll bet on 2 people walking down the aisle. You know what I mean? Who's going to get down there first?
Yep.
So, in-game, I am in on predict the outcome / in-game betting.
Oh, well, there you go. Sorry, I lost you for a second there. Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely down for in-game betting. I just think that there's going to be... Man, it's going to be an easy way for people to lose money because so many people are going to be addicted to that. You know what I mean? So it's definitely going to be interesting. I'm interested to see where this goes. It's going to be major business. I mean, it is. I mean, when they're trying out NBC in an NBA game, you know where it's going. You know where it's going. So I just think that this is going to be another way for people to lose money, ultimately.
Or win money, Dan.
Yeah, I don't have supreme confidence in people winning long term, of picking live plays. I just live bets, yes, live plays. I mean, the only thing that you can really do in that, like, is in the NFL when you're betting an under game, and you just know what's the next possession going to be, and punt is like -130, and you just, you know, the game is going under, you're just consistently hitting the punt. You're going to end up going like 8-1 or, you know, 9-8-2, whatever, and you'll make some,
like,
good money.
It's like black at the casino, man. Just, you know, it's got to keep putting it down.
That's a little less. That's a little under 50%. That's less percentage. A little under 50% there.
But this is good. I just wanted to bring it up on the podcast tonight, I'm sure. Hey, if NBC Washington's doing it, maybe it'll come to NBC Sports Boston. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's legal here in, you know, Rhode Island. And then... It's just interesting how it was in Washington, you know, that part of the East Coast.
Yep.
So I think it will be making its way over in a little bit. Also, I do want to let everyone know they can listen to our podcast on 985thesportshub.com. Find us on Apple, iTunes. Dan, what do the numbers look like? Yeah, somebody was asking me the other day.
what do the numbers look like for this week?
Yeah, like, do we get, like, a lot of listeners? Because for the most part, we get some haters out there, whatever.
Oh, but yeah.
A lot of people have said they started the podcast, they're making money, and you mentioned the DMs. People DM us all the time. But, you know, people said they're making money, but do the ratings, do the numbers look good as far as downloads and everything like that?
In terms of our listenership, it's continuously going up every single week since we started the podcast. Now we're sitting pretty around 2,500 downloads just on, you know, the local area. So that doesn't include iTunes and all that stuff. Well, so I'm not actually sure of the numbers, but what I can tell you is that they're pretty good. So, I mean, we had 2K for episode. We had 2K listeners just on the OMNY link for, you know, for episode 24. We're at 2.1 for episode 25. Hopefully, we'll go over that episode 26. We'll see, obviously, because, you know, it's going to be a short week podcast. So,
the reason why I ask is people are now starting to ask about other podcasts that are out there. So we got ahead of the game. I know some other people have been doing it for a while. But people have been asking about it. Maybe when we get into the light season, we can at least discuss some of those and maybe some insight you could take away from some people. Because, again, just like you bet, you got to fade or follow some of these podcasts as well.
I agree. The one I will recommend and shout out just because they're a partnership with us is Chicken Dinner with Sam Pajanovic and Joe. And those guys do a great job. I've been on there a few times. I'm actually going live with Sam tomorrow on VSiN, from Vegas, so that would be cool. But I think those guys do a really good job. I think what they do is they break down less games. They don't go over the whole slate like we do. And so, therefore, they give a very informed opinion on a few games. And I think that that's a good way to do it. That's not the way that we do it. We touch everything for you. And we give you, you know, a few plays in there. So, therefore, we don't get into the depth and detail of every single game like they do. So, it kind of depends what you're looking for. I think those guys are very knowledgeable, and that's a great podcast to listen to. And they just like we rep them, they rep the hell out of us. I mean, they've given us a bunch of listenership, and we appreciate it. We're not even a full year into the podcast. We're 6 months basically into the podcast. We've grown the podcast. We've done very well. I think that we've hit an incredibly good percentage of all of our picks, and we're just going to keep doing it. You don't have to worry about us going tout. We're not doing that. All we ask is you listen to the podcast in return.
The other thing, too, is, man, this is a grind. What are we, 26 weeks in?
26 weeks.
Dude, we're half. How many people can bet half the year and still be going with their bankroll?
Oh,
like
people, I mean, not
people
many.
Tap out all the time or cash out, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, we're 26 weeks in. We'll pat ourselves on the back, even though we lost. Even though we lost in the national championship game.
But, yeah, we went 1-2. We went 1. We went 0-2 in the national championship game. We lost the PP, but we hit. You know, Dallas money line. I mean, you know, the Seahawks +2.5. If you took that as a lead, also hit. I'm not counting that because that, in my opinion, doesn't count. However, Eastern Washington covered the 14.5.
That's right, it did.
They covered the 14.5. So, you know, that was a nice win for there. They actually closed at like 16 or 17. I was surprised that the sharps went the other way, and whatever, they backdoored it. So I'm pretty happy with that.
So some of the feedback on Twitter is, you know, I don't know how the guys might fudge their numbers, but this is all legit, man. And like, if I have a big day and I brag about it, I post the ticket. I have a bad day. I don't need to post the ticket. I sucked. You know what I mean? But I always post. Yeah, I mean, we can't lie. This is what we do. I don't care if people think we fudge the numbers. Listen to last week, this week, everything's out there. I still think we added to the bankroll, even though we had a bad Monday. Yeah, I guess I had the 3-1 Sunday did me very well.
Yeah, but so, not a great weekend. But the one other thing I did want to say is, guys, if you're worried about the lines that, you know, we're touting on here. First off, I use all my lines from Five Dimes every single time, every single week, every single game. So every single line that we use.
Sportsbook, just in case anybody wants to know.
Yeah, so we use our lines from there, or I use my lines from there. Joe uses his lines from Sportsbook. The lines change. So when we do the podcast, that's the line that we're going to give out. We're not going to change the line because we think of where it might go. I'm just going to tell you what the line is. So I'm not going to promise you that the line is always going to be the exact same. You know, when you listen 3 days later, and if you're upset about that, I do apologize, but there's nothing I can do about that. I know that people, you know, there's specifically a few people who have gotten upset about the lines, you know, I don't know what you want us to do. We tell you at the time of the podcast, you know, the line is at 45, and then you wait 4 days to put it in. That's on you, not me. I can't do anything for you.
And we'll move on. Yep. We this is what we do. We start the show off, we shoot the shit, and then we start cranking. So
it's an education process. It's fun.
To the divisional weekend in the NFL coming up next. Of course, you can find all our podcasts, I believe, on Beasley's BP Studios or B Pod Studios, I believe. 985thesportshub.com. We're all over the place, Dan. And you can listen to many other shows. And I'm going to give Wrestling Inside the Ropes a prop because they've been pumping us up. And we talked about views. They get a ton of views, Dan.
Yes, they do. They get a ton, and hopefully we're one day we'll make it up there consistently. But we're doing good. We're all on our own.
Oh, and there are odds out there for the Royal Rumble. Yes.
Oh, does that mean that we're gonna have a mixture podcast? Are we gonna have to mix the two, Joe?
That's right.
Oh, I like that.
A little crossover between both podcasts. So we'll stop here. We'll get into the NFL weekend. I know Dan's got some juicy Saturday stuff besides football as well, which I'm excited to hear about. But all that coming up next right here on Over Under 985.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 985. Listen to the podcast at 985thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Over Under 985 podcast. You can find all of our documented picks at Dan Lifshatz, at Joey Murr, and at Over Under 985 on Twitter. You can also listen to us Thursdays with Toucher and Rich, 7 to 7:20 a.m. to discuss everything that's going on in the sports world of betting, the NFL, college football, and any other sports slate that is going on that week. Make sure to listen to us 7 to 7:20 a.m. every Thursday on Toucher and Rich.
All right, it is divisional weekend in the NFL. I'm excited. Are you going to the game on Sunday, Dan? Because I am going to the Patriots game in New England this week.
I am. I'm going with the Wong father. I'm going with Andy Wong, Sarge, and Matt McCarthy. So that will be a good time. I know you're going to be with your buddy as well.
That's right. We will be pre-gaming. The Bankroll Boys will be pre-gaming live from a bar at Patriots Place.
Yeah. Maybe we'll give it out on Sunday. No.
Yes.
I like that idea.
So we'll start there. And, you know, this is something to discuss. And let's just get to the game. Screw it. Let's get to it.
Okay.
I'm going to the game. I'm a Patriots season ticket holder. I've been to the greatest Patriots games ever, Dan. Like, you know, 01 Snowball at the old stadium. Like, I've been to every greatest game you can think of. There was a game where they were going to lose to Buffalo, and somehow the kick returner brought it out of the end zone, fumbled it, Patriots scored a touchdown and win.
I remember that game.
I've just been to every great last year's Jacksonville AFC Championship game. I've been to them all.
Was that 2009 that happened? The Buffalo? Because I remember being in my freshman dorm room.
It was.
Sure.
It was the first game Brady was back.
Yeah. Oh, wild. I remember that game.
That was the luckiest game. Like, I was there, and I'm like, I was in the stands, and I said, dude, every Patriots game, like, they win. and I've been going to, like, tons of games. Like, I went to the Baltimore game they lose in the division. Like, I've been to some bad ones. Any bad one you can think. And there's not, the Patriots haven't had many, so you remember all of them, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm going to a game this week that I'll just flat out say it. I am liking the Chargers at 4.5. I'm not betting the game yet. I like the Chargers at 4.5. Nothing is taking me off the game. Nothing at all. I'm trying to come up with travel. I'm trying to come up with weather. There was even a snow element that happened earlier this week. Like, I know the Patriots are undefeated at home. They're the Patriots. They've had a week off. Like, I've tried to... Nothing has moved me off of 4.5, maybe to 4. That's it. So I'm going to a game that I'm rooting for a team, but I might have to bet the other way. And I all week long. I mean, what have you heard from this game from people around the country besides the kicker factor or the travel? Like, how did when you first saw this line, what were your thoughts?
When I first saw the line, I actually wasn't surprised. I kind of thought that was about right. It opened at 5.5, which I think is the correct line in this game. I like the Patriots this week. I do. I don't, I mean, listen, I think that LA is a good team. But I think that they consistently do dumb things. And you can see that evidently from their game in at home versus the Broncos earlier this year. They consistently do dumb crap. And that's not going to fly in Foxborough. If the Chargers are going to come in to Foxborough and win this game, they're going to have to play their best game of the season. That's just the truth. It's hard to win in New England. It's hard. You know what times Philip Rivers has won in New England?
It's never happened.
Never. Right? It's never happened. There's a reason for it.
Here, but it might have been in San Diego at the time.
Yeah, but it's never happened, and that's because good teams struggle on the road. Now, the Chargers are a consistently very good road team this year. But the fact is that Melvin Gordon's banged up. They're going to try and put in Hunter Henry. We don't know what he's going to look like, you know, from the tight end position. So that will give him some sort of, you know, interesting factor that maybe the Patriots have to game plan for. But in reality, I don't really know where the Chargers are going to beat the Patriots outside of, you know, their offense matches up well against our defense. Yeah, but it's going to be cold. You got to travel west to east again. I know that's an overplayed angle, but still, it's tough to do. You got to go into Foxborough in a 1 o'clock game, so it's super early. You know, that's like a 10 a.m. game for the Chargers. You know, this is a 4 o'clock game. I wouldn't say travel, whatever. 10 a.m. game essentially, trying to get up for an early game. Across the country in your biggest game of the year in a freezing cold Foxborough Stadium, I think it's going to be tough for the Chargers to win. And not only that, I don't know anyone on the Patriots this week. I mean, really, there's almost no one on the Patriots. Everyone and their mother loves every single dog this week, including the Chargers. I just got to say, I know that there's meetings being talked about, you know, between the Colts and Chargers if both of them win their games. And if they do, I think we'll look back and say, well, what the hell is kind of going on there if they're having meetings about the Colts and Chargers winning their games?
Yeah, moving the game if it happens.
Yeah, I mean, that's some shady crap.
Talk about jumping the shark, huh?
That's some shady crap to pull on a Thursday or Friday when the game is on Sunday. You have a whole week to figure it out. That's some shady crap.
Imagine locking in your bet on the Chargers and then hearing that.
you probably feel better about that now. You got to feel better about the Chargers.
True, I guess.
I mean,
so let me throw this at you, Dan. You made all the points. Just look at it like as far as like if you were going to go with this offense versus that. Like quarterback, I'm going to say it's a wash this year. I really am. Like overall, I know Tom Brady's the superior, but they have a better running game.
Yeah, but
they have better wide receivers.
Rivers in New England is not a wash to me. I think Brady knows the elements and playing in the cold. Rivers struggles.
I would normally like to agree. And you know what? When we look at it down the road, we're going to be like, yes. This year, Tom Brady has been right. He showed something in that last game against the Jets, arm strength, everything like that. There's still that question and that curiosity heading into the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think that this is their season. They need Indy to win because if they don't, if Indy doesn't win this week, I think it's going to be tough for the Patriots to get up for this game. Because let me rephrase that. It's going to be tough for the Patriots to have a good feeling about winning next week's game because they have struggled mightily on the road and playing an Arrowhead versus a good Kansas City team is very tough. So it's going to be a big challenge. If Indy wins on Saturday, I'm telling you, man, look out. That Pats team is going to come out revved, rejuvenated, and ready because all they have to do is beat Indy in New England. Again, I don't have faith in either Indy or LA coming in here and beating the Patriots until it happens. You know, it's the same type of thing like, you know, with like the Capitals. I don't have faith in the Bruins beating the Capitals. So until I see it happen with my eyes, I don't believe it. I'm rolling Patriots -4 this week, no question. I'm gonna parlay the money line with something else. I know not a big parlay guy, but I'm gonna parlay the money line with something else eventually, whatever I find, you know, that I like. But man, Patriots -4 to me is the play in this game. There's no question about it. I lean the over as well. I know that's probably going to be the square side in that one. And I told you, I struggle on wild card weekend. I always do, but I lock it in for these weeks. I like the Patriots. I think they opened as 5.5-point favorites for a reason. I think the smart money came in on the Chargers at 5.5, which is fine. I think it's a possible, you know, a potential field goal game. But really, Pats -4 is a really good line. That's what I have right now. I like the Pats -4. I think they're going to win. I think that you'll probably get 3.5 by kickoff on Sunday.
All right. So I want to dig. There's not many games, so we can dig into it a little bit here. Rob Gronkowski has absolutely owned the Chargers throughout his career. And if you look at Rob Gronkowski's numbers in the divisional round, he got hurt that one year against the Texans on a field goal Besides that, dude, he has been a monster in the divisional round. He also has 5 career touchdowns against the Chargers. So I'm curious who they're going to put on Gronk. You know, do they put Derwin James in there?
They're going to have to. They're going to have to.
Yeah, and the other thing, I mean, they have other skill. I think their defense is better. I just think I think Joey Bosa is going to be a monster. Like, I just see him going inside instead of playing outside. They're going to put him inside on, you know, probably not Shaq Mason's side, but Tooney's side. And, I'd rather Brady see the pressure from that side than the right because we've seen him struggle that way. But if Gronk does not make an impact in this game, like, I don't think they can win the game if Gronk doesn't have an impact in it.
That's fair. I think that's a good point. I just think that Gronk has – I think we all see what Gronk is at this point. I think he's definitely a shell of what he used to be. He can be effective in certain spots, but he just doesn't have the long-term go up and get it every single week. I think you'll see in the next few games, however long the rest of the season lasts, I think Gronk is done at the end of the season. So I think you're going to see
– this could be his last game.
I think you're going to see Rob Gronkowski go all in. I think he's going to go all in, and I think that he's going to lay his body on the line in the next few weeks. I really do. That's my opinion. I think that Gronk is going to have a really big game. I do. I just think that this is, you know, he's been kind of been very careful about his playing and his snap count and all that stuff all year. And I think that at this point, you know, they're not going to be careful with him. This is when it counts. This is nut-cutting time. I think that Gronk is going to be a factor. And the thing is, you know, they haven't used all their weapons. Like, Cordarrelle Patterson is going to be a big part of their game this week. He is. James White, they haven't used at all the past few weeks. You know who struggles covering running backs? The Chargers. White's going to be huge this week. I just think the Patriots have too many offensive weapons, and I know that sounds silly, especially from where their offense was earlier this year, but Dorsett looks like he's been useful the past few weeks. I think they're going to have too many offensive weapons, and I think they're going to be able to run the ball. I just think it's going to be a tough, cold game. Those games are the games I will always back the Patriots until you show me otherwise. I don't have faith in the Chargers coming in here and doing anything.
And this is why I'm here to say, when you bet, just don't bet off history. Don't do it. Don't do it. With the Patriots, sometimes it's hard to go. It's hard, like last year in the Super Bowl, man. I bet the Eagles second half. I had to. I had the Patriots first half. I had to hedge out of it. I was nervous.
Yep. No, I did the exact same as you. I laid a lot of money on the Patriots first half and lost and came back on Philly second half. I agree. You know, it's tough. It is what it is.
And we're gonna be there. We're gonna be there with money burning in a hole in our pocket. We have this big circle burned through our jeans and we leave.
I'm gonna be on the Patriots. I don't know in what way. I don't know if I'm gonna. What I'm going to do yet, but I'm going to be on the Patriots. I will post a play for you guys on Sunday. I will be on the Patriots. There's no flip-flopping here. I'm not going to make it my PP because I think there's other stuff on the board, but the Patriots, to me, that's the play.
Yep, and right now I'm circling the Chargers. I'm just, hey, the Chargers could cover, Patriots could win, and everyone would be happy all over again.
Yep.
If you do bet the Patriots money line there. A couple of things I wanted to bring up last weekend. Wild card round results. Favorites went 0-4 against the spread. Underdogs were 3-1 straight up. Home teams 0-4, Dan. Don't forget about that.
Yeah, wild card weekend, that's not unusual. When it comes to the divisional round, I'm telling you, home teams rule.
And just there's a bunch of stuff when it comes to underdogs. Like through the last 15 playoff games, underdogs are 9-6 straight up. They're 14-1 against the spread. They're 14-1 against the spread in their last 15 games since the start of last year. Dogs of 7 points or more are 16-8-2 against the spread since 2006 in the divisional round.
That's crazy.
Here's something that will back Dan Lifshatz up, and hopefully you ride it. After a wild card upset, teams are 9-38 straight up and 18-29 against the spread in the divisional round.
Telling you, it's going to be a tough game. So
then why is everybody on the Chiefs? Or why is everybody on the Colts? If that's the case, excuse me. If after a wild card upset, teams are 9-38. The whole thing for the Chiefs game for me is the Chiefs, I don't know if they can get to Andrew Luck. Like the Colts are this no-name team. Like, we all know T.Y. Hilton and this kid Max done pretty well in Ebron. And, you know, and then you look at their defense and they got a couple of studs, right? Leonard in the middle. But, like, they're a no-name team. They don't give up sacks. They just don't let anyone hit Andrew Luck. Like, they must have – Ursay must have said to them, hey, man, if you guys take it easy on my man, I'll take care. Like, that's must what have – they give up 18 sacks in the season. I don't see how the Chiefs can get after him. I think their secondary stinks. And let's throw this out there. The Chiefs have not been good. Like, they snuck out a win, right, against the they lost the game to the Chargers in that two-point conversion. They snuck out a win against Baltimore. They lost outright in Seattle, and then they beat the Raiders the final week of the season. So they're not going into the playoffs necessarily really, really hot. And here come the Colts, really hot as 5.5-point dogs. I know people are jumping on the Colts this week, but I love the Chiefs.
I think that the line started open at 6 and went down to 5 real quick. I think the public and the sharps are both on the Colts. There's been some buyback on the Chiefs. It's back up to 5.5 at 5 dimes. Listen, I think that the Chiefs lost a lot with Kareem Hunt. They lost a lot. People didn't understand that Kareem Hunt gave them the elements of the big play for the backfield. I'm not sure what they have right now is enough. It just in terms of the running backs. I mean, Spencer Ware, in my opinion, is not a good player. I don't think Spencer Ware is a good running back. I don't think that he can do the things that they want to do. Damian Williams is impressive at times. I think that he's had some very impressive games. I think he has the chance to make a big play. He reminds me of a third down back. He's a good third down back. But he's a third down back. I don't think Ware is a good player. And because of that, the Chiefs have lost an entire element of this big play running game, getting 6, 7 yards, 8 yards first down. They don't have that anymore. Now you're getting 2, 3, 4. It's a totally different game. You have to call every drive differently because of that. I don't like I like the Chiefs to win this week. 5.5, 6 is a lot. I know it's against my rule of, pick a winner. I do think this game is going to be close. There's going to be a lot of points in this game. I really do believe that. I think there's going to be a lot of points in this game. I don't know where I want to go, but I think I'm going to take the over 57 in this game and forget about the side. 57 is a ton of points to lay in the playoffs.
Think about it. I mean, 31-28. Yeah. One thing I wanted to bring up regarding the Colts, I thought they looked awesome in that first half, methodical, great. But they really didn't put up much offense in the second half. Their defense really elevated. But I feel like, didn't the Chargers somewhat have that, like with the first half last week? So, I mean, if we're looking at the two teams, Colts, both teams start, one team started out slow, the other team started in hot. Like, I'm curious if the Colts can still have that kind of offensive firepower on the road and back-to-back weeks against the number one seed in Arrowhead, from everything I've heard, is just one of the toughest places to play.
It's hard to play there. The thing is that everyone assumes that when you're a home team, you just automatically get 3 points against the line. That's not the case. So Arrowhead usually gets 3.5 to 4, depending on the game. I think it's going to be real tough for the Chiefs to win, or for the Colts to win this game. I do. This is again, I think Andrew Luck is ready, but you have a first-time head coach. I know that they are, and they've been extremely good offensively, and I think they're going to be extremely effective offensively. Kansas City's defense sucks. They're a sieve. They're a complete joke. The question is who gets the stops. Who can get the stops, and the home crowd always helps that. I think the Chiefs are going to score some points. You've got to expect them to score, 20, 25 points. You really do. It just, depends on can Indy get up to that 30 mark, or can they, can they hold Kansas City from getting that 30, 31 mark? Because if Kansas City gets to 30-31, they're probably going to win the game. I don't think Indy is going to score 35 or whatever, but I do think that they're going to get, 28-29. If they can get 4 touchdowns, I like them. I do.
This could be like a 31-30 game.
That's
like
kind of
one of those type of games. I just think the Chiefs come out and win.
I do too. I think the Chiefs are going to win and the Colts are going to cover. It's just like, it's one of those rare instances I'm going against my rule. But I think that I think the Colts are a good team. I do. I think that they've really vastly improved. Again, can they do it on the road in back-to-back weeks? Houston is not a tough place to play, and it's a dome. And
they suck, huh?
And Indy playing outdoors is a totally different ballgame than them playing indoors. Let's remember that. Like, They've been extremely good this season because when they played indoors and when they played outdoors, they've sucked quite a bit.
Remember that Jacksonville game?
Yeah. That's exactly my point. So, you know, they lay eggs outside on you know, when it's not a, you know, when it's not a dome. And I don't see them coming in. If they beat Kansas City this week, I'm going to hammer the Patriots, assuming they win, because I just don't see them winning again back-to-back, you know, cold fields outside conditions. I don't see it. We'll see. I do think Indy is going to cover the 5.5, but my favorite play in that game is the over 57.
That should be stated on Twitter and on our iTunes and 98.5, all that stuff, that this week, you know, if the Chiefs win, there's definitely more motivation for the Patriots this week.
I agree with that.
That should be, we should say that.
Oh, you mean if the Colts win, right?
Well, if the Colts win, there's absolutely added motivation. No doubt. I said that the wrong way, right?
Yeah.
Another thing I wanted to mention, Kansas City has went one and done 10 of the last 11 postseasons.
That doesn't surprise me. They are the type of team that does that. I predicted that Pat Mahomes would go one and done this year. Ooh. It's a possibility. Ooh. It's a possibility. I mean,
you're getting 5.5 points.
It's a possibility. I think Kansas City is going to win this game, but I think it's a possibility. Mahomes has been impressive to me, and I've just been wrong about him on every turner, every corner, and every turn. So why not just be wrong about another one? But I do think the Chiefs will win and the Colts will cover. But again, my favorite play in that one is the over 57. I know, being a square, I just think that that's the right side.
Four losses to the Colts in the playoffs for the Chiefs. That was probably during the Peyton Manning days. So we gave you one Saturday, one Sunday game. I'm afraid to give a PP on this one, simply for the fact that it's been cold. It's been cold. But I want to do a heat check, all right? Oh, ready, man, for a heat check?
I feel like we're going to be opposites on this one.
Oh, ready? Cowboys +7 against the Rams. PP.
Oh, wow, we're going same. Consensus PP, Dallas +7 against the Rams. Oh, no, Dan,
that's not good for us.
I mean, no, we're 1-1 on consensus PPs.
Oh, I know, it's scary. That one's going to be broken down right now.
We're 1-1 on consensus PPs. I agree. I think that the Rams have struggled mightily in the past few weeks. I think this Dallas team has gotten better and better, and while I don't love Dak, man, they look like they can do some damage. The Rams' front has been decimated. The defense doesn't look anything like it was just a few weeks ago. Dallas is using all sorts of weapons. They won a huge divisional game without Zeke. You know, I don't know, man. To me, the Dallas Cowboys, they won a huge playoff game last week. It was a closer game than it should have been. They should have won much easier. But in my opinion, I think they might beat the Rams outright.
Wow.
I do. I mean, I'm considering laying the 265. I do. In fact... I'll go as far to say that if I had to pick a Super Bowl winner right now, Dallas would be my winner. Dallas would be my winner. So if you're looking for a future, you want to lay some money. I laid some money with Dallas last week. I'll probably do it again this week.
Well, what's one thing we see in the playoffs? Defenses normally win. We didn't really get that in the Super Bowl last year, you know? But defenses have prevailed. You know, if you have a good defense, you can go to the Super Bowl. My whole reasoning behind Dallas... what I saw from Dak Prescott last week, when he actually takes the ball into his own hands, you know, and actually runs the football. Like, how many moments do you remember of quarterbacks in the playoffs just take over games? Russell, Michael Vick years ago, you know, whenever they made the playoffs. But Colin Kaepernick for a period of time, you know, I'm just thinking over the last few years, Russell Wilson's the big name that stands out. And hey, even your boy Nick Foles, who we'll get into in a little bit,
Jesus.
When these guys need to scramble, they can do it. Dak needs to make it an element in his game, like a threat every single play, because last week, man, that opened my eyes. Like, when I saw him do those things, he looked like Tim Tebow out there. So I think he needs to add that to his game. I think Amari Cooper's his favorite target. They, you know, they lost Hearns. That would have been disgusting. Oh, that was so gross.
Yeah, it was a gross angle injury.
But with Beasley, I think Tavon Austin has been helping out with them. Like, they're rolling right now. And I don't think the coach can get in the way, and I think that's the biggest thing, is now Dak is taking over this team. And I agree with you. Like, I know that LA look what happened to the Rams last year in the playoffs against Atlanta, right?
Yes.
So I think this is like a real tough spot. They're at home. You know, they got this high passing game. They do have a strong defense, but that offensive line might have to pay the bills for the Cowboys Saturday or Sunday?
It's on Saturday. I like Goff. I just don't know if that team is ready yet. I think all those personalities are starting to catch up to them, which we discussed earlier in the season. Like, at some point, are all these personalities, you know, Sue, Tlaib, all these defensive guys eventually, you know, are good. It's going to catch up to them at some point. I think it catches up to them Saturday. Again, being in L.A. is not exactly a home advantage. You know, there's not – I wouldn't exactly say that that's a big home crowd. I just think that Dallas is the right side in this one. I do. I like it as a PP. I'm a little scared that we have a consensus PP there. But, I mean, again, you know, that's what – you know, that's okay with me. I like the under there, too. I do. I think the first half under, you ride that first half under with Dallas. They just are a good first half under team as well. So that first half under 24.5 to me seems pretty good. I probably won't play that, but, you know, I think that there's some, you know, going to be some sharp money coming in on the under. But Dallas is the right side, man. They match up well. They're going into the season hot. They're continuously winning all these games they have to. And LA just fading down the stretch. They started really hot, and now they're fading. They kind of remind me of the Kansas City Chiefs. I think the Chiefs find a way to win. I think Dallas wins outright this week, and I'm telling you, that future bet, they think that Philly has a better chance of winning the Super Bowl than Dallas does. I think that's stupid. I love Nick Foles. I think what they did last week was really impressive. I think they're going to get slaughtered this week, so whatever.
Last matchup, Rams won 35-30 at Dallas. Zeke Elliott rushed for 85 yards. Dak Prescott, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. And I think that pick he threw at the end of the game.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think the Cowboys will cover. I think they'll win. I do. I think they're going to win outright. I think this is going to be the one dog that wins this week. So you know exactly where I'm going in the next one. But I think Dallas is going to win this week. I think they're going to be the one dog that wins outright this week.
Okay. And then the Eagles and Saints. You know how you tell us don't do teasers, you know?
Yep.
Don't do teasers. You know what I did, right?
You, of course, teased
the Bears to -1.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what happened, right?
I know. They lost by more than one.
Like that? Oh, God. That would really suck.
I'm telling you, dude, teasers can be very profitable in specific situations if you're good with them, but man, are they trappy. Man, are they trappy.
It was like I had a great weekend, and then that one just kicked me right in the balls.
Yep.
You know? And the funny thing was, so I was watching it with family who don't really, you know, watch often.
Yeah.
And they're like, why'd they call the timeout? They can't do that to the kicker. I'm like, it's called icing the kicker. You know?
Yep.
So I had to explain, well, that's bullshit. Yeah.
All right, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's gamesmanship. That's part of it.
You know? So I couldn't even see the final play. And then I hear, fucking doinked it. And I didn't even watch. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to watch.
Yeah. Oh, God.
So it was a nice little fun time with the Murray household. But anyway, I hope I didn't offend anybody with that. New Orleans, -8, or are you taking points?
I'm gonna lay the 8 if I'm gonna take a side. I like the 5.5 first half, to be honest with you, more. I just think the Eagles I honestly think this has potential to be a blowout. I do. Look, I like Nick Foles. The Eagles have been a fun story the past few weeks, but the train stops here. You know, I know the Eagles fans are thinking, oh, you know, Nick Foles is a good quarterback. And honestly, I think that if you had to tell me right now, who would you take, Carson Wentz or Nick Foles? I would take Nick Foles. I just think that, you know, the guy has proven himself time and time again. But eventually, you know, the buck has to stop somewhere. And I think that this is where it stops. I do. I think the Saints are going to win outright. I think that I think they're going to cover the 8. I think there's a chance to get ugly. I think you might see a 15-20 point win here. It's going to be ugly. Could turn into a national championship type game. I just think the Saints are better in every single aspect of their game than Philly is. I do. I mean, outside of covering tight ends, I think that New Orleans is really going to have their way. I know Philly's, you know, Philly's secondary has been trash all year, and I know that they've, you know, they've gotten some good play the past few weeks, but at some point it's going to come back to bite you. New Orleans and the MVP, in my opinion, Drew Brees, are going to tear them apart. I think the Saints cover the 8.
I just hope they don't get cute, you know? The Taysom Hill tosses to the end zone.
They got to stop doing the Taysom Hill crap. God damn. They have to stop doing the Taysom Hill crap. So stupid.
I wonder what they sound like in New Orleans sports radio. You know? Like in New England, you know, there's the Cordell Patterson, or there's like the Nate Ebner factor. You know what I mean? Like, remember he was a kicker once, and it really just screwed them.
Can you imagine if Taysom Hill came in for Tom Brady, what Adam Jones would do on the radio? Adam Jones might literally have like just be all smiles for the next nine years because Taysom Hill came in to replace Tom Brady and threw a pick. Like I could just see that.
I mean, at least when someone else besides Tom Brady has thrown the ball, they've connected. You know, whether it's been what Danny Amendola did once, Julian Edelman.
Yeah, but did they line up at quarterback? Nope.
Exactly. Different. You're essentially taking one of the top, what, 5 or 10 quarterbacks of all time off the field for a stiff from BYU.
It's the stupidest thing ever. I don't know. I don't know what you're doing, Sean Payton. Stop being a dumbass. So stupid.
Get Kamara involved. Look to Mike Jones. Feed Ben Watson on some play action. Run the ball on goal line and tight with Ingram and just keep chucking it down the field. Don't let them get any turnovers. And you know what? They'll probably play tough early on. Like Golden Tate looked to have a connection last week with Foles. Algalor starting, Alshon Jeffrey. Like they're starting to look like that offense that's always been a little bit scary.
Yeah.
But it's because of Foles. I'm not giving everyone else that credit. And I don't know. I just think that this is the week where the Eagles defense has had injuries all year long. They've sustained it. They're going to get torched this week.
I agree. And I'm very close to making the Saints my PP, but I love Dallas so much this week. I think they went outright that I can't. And I don't want to start giving out too many PPs, especially since I have a strong lean on the Patriots. I'm going to have a strong lean on the Saints. The only game I really don't have a strong lean on is that Indy Chiefs game. Listen, if you want to tell me, Dallas, sprinkle the money line, Patriots, Saints. If you want to fade me, Rams, Chargers, Eagles. I mean, that's the way I'm, because I'm telling you right now, I'm going to be betting somehow, some way, the Cowboys, the Patriots, the Saints. That's what I'm going to be doing.
I'll be betting every game just because I'm
because you're loser. You. I won't. I probably won't bet that Colts Chiefs game, but I'm going to enjoy the hell of it.
I will be on the radio tomorrow during the end of the Chiefs Colts game.
Oh, all right. Well,
the first half of the Colts
game. Now tune in to Joe Murray tomorrow.
So I will be pretty much doing it live, play by play, and you'll know who I bet. Yeah, I'll be like an Al Michaels.
But we agree on the Saints, right?
Oh yeah, Saints and Cowboys were on. I like the Chiefs to win, and I lean Chargers. With the points,
I'm strongly in on the Patriots. I like Dallas and I like the Saints. I'm probably not going to change anything there. I'm definitely not changing my Dallas pick. I'm probably not going to change anything there, but you know.
So I'll ask you this: this is one of the prop bets I saw this week. How many road teams will win in the divisional round?
I think one. I think
the odds are +150 for one.
Yep, I think one is the right answer. I think Dallas wins. I think Indy is going to lose by 2 or 3. It's going to be a close game. I think the Chargers will probably lose by a touchdown, and I think that the Eagles will get blown out.
All right. There you go. That's our NFL stuff. Lots of coaching moves. I wonder what that's going to do for, like, you know, over-under expectations for next year.
Yep,
you know, like the Jets and Adam Gase. I don't even know what to think of that.
Oh God, that's gonna be a disaster for them.
You know what interests me is the Bucs though, with Bruce Arians. Like I feel like they're gonna be like an air attack with him.
Yeah, I mean they're already an air attack and they sucked anyways. I just think Winston makes too many mistakes as a quarterback. He's not the quarterback.
Man, he was so good in college though.
He was. I will say this. I think there's some legitimate future value here today. If you think that the Patriots or the Chiefs are going to win, and you like Dallas to win the Super Bowl like me, because, again, Dallas is my pick to win the Super Bowl right now. I know everyone's going to be crazy about that, but, yep, that's my pick. If you think that the Patriots or the Chiefs are going to win this week, you can lay some money in the Pats. The Pats-Dallas matchup is +3175, and the Chiefs-Dallas matchup is +2430. Or if you just want the Cowboys to win outright, +2050, and the Dallas to win the NFC is +925. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm on the Cowboys last week. They were huge odds. I'm going to double up again this week, probably a little less, but I'm still going to lay some coin on 2050. It just they look to me like a team that's, you know, has all the calculations to win. They've already beaten the Saints this year. I know it's going to be tough, but I just think that they're going to win the NFC. I do.
Who's the public road favorite this week?
The public road favorite? I don't think there is one.
Sorry, road dog.
Oh, public road dog.
Last week it was the Chargers.
1,000% is the Chargers. 1,000%. Okay. I don't think anyone's nowhere near the Chargers this week. I mean, I think maybe Indy. It's got to be Indy or the Chargers. That's it for me. It's
because both hit last week. And I feel like that doesn't go back-to-back weeks.
Oh, no. Listen, home teams rule in this round. They do. Home teams rule in this round. It's going to be tough for teams to win. I just think that Dallas is a better team than the Rams are right now. And it's not like Dallas is facing, you know, going into dreaded Los Angeles. I mean, they're going into Los Angeles, you know? I mean, it's that stadium is a joke. That crowd is a joke. It's not like there's a real factor there. And so, you know, if the Rams make a few mistakes, I'm telling you, Dallas is going to be real tough to beat there. They're hot. So, but I think the public is going to be on every single dog. I think you'll see the majority of bettors this week on the Chargers, the Colts, the Eagles, and the Cowboys.
All right. That's our football talk right there. We'll wrap up with a couple of other little tidbits for you. And, of course, next week will be the championship round. There'll be prop bets. They'll have a week off. And then it's the Super Bowl.
You know what? You don't want to do a Pro Bowl podcast, Joe? Come on.
Oh, God.
We got to cap the Pro Bowl.
The dodgeball game?
We got to cap the Pro Bowl.
What about that dodgeball game?
Oh, yeah.
That shit.
No, yeah, exactly. We got to cap the individual Pro Bowl drills, whatever the hell.
I want to know who, like, you know, has the hardest arm strength for a dodgeball player.
Jesus Christ. Good luck with that.
You know?
Yeah, oh, my God.
Or, like, watch Fat Lyman race. Oh, that'd be great.
Oh, God, that's gross. Enjoy that.
Give me, like, who? Give me some, like J.J. Watt versus Jadeveon Clowney. I'd bet on Clowney heavy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, after all Watt surgeries, me too. 100%.
And who knows? One of them might pull a hammy doing it.
Jesus Christ. I hope not. I mean, I hope so. That would just be funny to watch. I don't care.
All right. It's over under 985. He is Dan Lifshatz. He is @Dan_Lifshatz or
nope, just word? @Dan Lifshatz. One word.
One word. Dan Lifshatz. I'm @Joey Mer. Oh, we know you guys are listening because we hear from you on Twitter. And of course, send us DMs. Follow us on Over Under 985, the podcast. We'll wrap up the show here. And it's Over Under 985, the podcast.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 985. Listen to the podcast at 985thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Bankroll Boys. Follow them on Twitter @Joey Murr, @Dan Lifshatz, and send in your questions @OverUnder985.
All right, wrapping up the podcast this week, Dan. I've started to watch college basketball a little bit here. The NBA is a little tricky, little funny game out there. Night to night, just to bring up a couple of things. San Antonio, right? I can't get a read on it. I can't get a good read on that team.
They're not a great team. You have to remember when betting the Spurs is that when there's a weird line, you're gonna have to go against it because they're probably gonna have a favorite.
Like Detroit the other night, right?
Yep.
I thought Detroit was the right play.
Me too.
Seattle won. The San Antonio won. The next night they play Memphis. Memphis sucks.
I had Memphis. Memphis does not suck in the first half. They're the best first half team in the league. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know.
They are the best first half team in the league. Them and Brooklyn constantly cover first quarters and first halves like it's nobody's business. And then they suck second half. And the Nuggets are the best second half team in the league. Now, no surprise there. Look at the record.
Interesting. And I'm curious how good the Rockets are half to half, because the other night they had a huge lead against the Bucks and then absolutely blew it the next night. And was that last night's game? Oh, no, last night was the Thunder. Man, though, I cannot figure out. I think it's the Western Conference, dude.
That was a wild game. Wild. That was so much fun to watch. I love that game.
Well, I think right now, like, NBA starting to become interesting, right? I mean, for a while, it was like, let's get to Christmas. All right, here, let's bet the Christmas Day games. But now, like, you know, there's less football, no more college basketball is what it is. I'm like, locked in right now in the NBA.
Yeah? You're a big NBA guy right now?
Tonight, I was watching, like, I have a bet right now that I don't know will hit or not, but I took the over in the Portland Hornets game. Well, right now at halftime, it's 70-49.
Yeah.
I got it at 223.
I think that's going to be close. That's going to be tight. That's going to be tight.
I need 105 points for the second half.
Yeah, I'm telling you, because what they'll do is those teams will end up slowing down the second half. I think, especially Charlotte, people love them at that 7 points tonight. I didn't really understand that, but
By the way, the Warriors lead the Bulls 40-17.
Yep. So I was just gonna say my two favorite bets tonight were actually the Jazz and the 76ers over, but the Warriors to me were like, I mean, when you see a team laying like 18 or 19 in a game like that, it's almost always a dead giveaway that they're going to cover that line. So I felt very confident about the Warriors. They were such a huge public favorite and sharp favorite. Everyone loved them. So I stayed away. But tonight my favorite plays were the Jazz and the Sixers over. Those are the only two I played. I didn't play them big. I played them like real small. And I actually played hockey much bigger tonight. Those are the two games I actually played.
So let's talk a little hockey while we're on it.
Okay.
We had the Capitals Bruins last night.
Yeah, I missed the line. I'm pissed. I completely forgot that they were playing last night because I was busy working. And completely missed. Of course, what happens? The Capitals win.
Did you know that the Bruins were favored?
Yes, I did. I had plans to bet it, and I just completely forgot about it. So
it was the easiest money in the world. It's just sitting there.
They always beat the Bruins. I just forgot. You know, sometimes you just forget these things. You just forget. But
I took the under and it pushed. A nasty empty net goal by Ovechkin there.
I mean, the NHL unders are hard. What I like to do in regards to the NHL unders is I really like to find the real heavy juice lines. To me, when you have two teams that are clearly an underside and the line screams over, you got to go over. When you have two sides that are clearly an overside, like tonight, I think Florida and Calgary are playing, and it was like 6.5. I just thought that was a good underplay, but I like the first period over. So I played the first period over. I still thought the game was going to go under, and I had the Canes tonight too. NHL is very like read the line, because it's a very like anyone can win any night. Home ice used to matter a few years ago, to be honest with you. Now it really means nothing. Since like about 2009, 2008, home ice has really been diminished in regards to what it actually means. So, you know, for instance, tomorrow night, Vegas is -150 versus the Blackhawks. I don't really like to lay the -150 juice or anything. So what I'll probably do is I'll probably take Vegas in regulation. I like Vegas tomorrow night. I think it's a good spot for them. I love the over in that game. Vegas, Chicago. Over 6.5.
Saturday night in Vegas?
Saturday night in Vegas, over 6 goals, Vegas, Chicago.
Who the hell wants to watch an under?
I'm telling you, tomorrow night, over Vegas, Chicago. I mean, am I allowed to make it a PP in hockey? You know?
Let's do it.
Yeah, PP in hockey, Vegas and Chicago Blackhawks, over 6 goals. I like that a lot. I also think you'll also see the Senators and Sharks go over 6.5. That was a lean of mine. And then I think you'll see the Rangers-Islanders go under 6. I think that those teams have outplayed each other 3 times in the past few weeks. And so that's going to – eventually there's going to stop being some goals there, because they're just going to continuously know how to play each other defensively. And the Coyotes always struggle versus the Oilers. The Oilers always struggle versus the Coyotes. And for whatever reason, that's like kind of how the trend is always held. the Oilers just always beat them for whatever reason. So I do lean Edmonton there, but I wouldn't touch that. But I mean, honestly, tomorrow night's slate is eh. Like under in the Rangers game, I think is pretty decent. I definitely like, as I said, the over in Vegas. I like Vegas as well. That's a strong lean amount. I'd probably play Vegas in regulation in terms of that. But I mean, a lot of lines tomorrow at 6. The Blues and Dallas are at 5.5. So in my opinion, you're probably going to see a lot of under bets there. So we'll see about that. But I think the NHL card kind of sucks actually tomorrow, to be perfectly honest with you.
I haven't been, I mean, I bet the Winter Classic, I dabbled last night. It's more of like a, what am I, you know, what's on TV, you know? And that's why I think maybe Sundays might be good for hockey, because, well, they got the national championship, national NBC, right?
Yeah.
Broadcast, and then during the week they got the broadcast there. So, you know, that's going to pick up, man. Like, everything, like, we don't even know who's going to, like, this trade deadline hasn't happened yet, and there's holes in so many teams, and some players still haven't even returned. One thing I did want to say, wasn't there, like, a bet happening with Tampa Bay? Where, like, every single first half, first period went over.
So I think it was, like, 18 straight games or something like that, their first period went over. So I was riding that after about 10 games, and I just wrote it for
it lost me. Last night, finally.
It did. So I actually didn't play it last night because, again, I forgot, like an idiot, that all the games start at 7 when I'm out at 4 on the West Coast. So I done very well remembering all that, but I forgot last night like an idiot.
I have to share two stories. So the other night I was just looking, like, through the college. I look at lines, like, I didn't see what the score was tonight in, like, some of the games. I'll actually look them up right now while we're here. But, like, I look at college basketball tonight.
Purdue-Wisconsin's about to go in the overtime.
So I was leaning Purdue.
Me too.
I think they have a great big man, but, like, I don't know. Weren't they really, like, a down team last year? You know who I was leaning all day? I'm glad I didn't bet it was Iona. Like, Iona has a reputation of being a fast-scoring team.
Oh, I love Niagara today.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? That's why no insight whatsoever, right? Like, Wright State was on ESPN 2 tonight.
I liked Wright State tonight, too, and they actually covered that 4.5.
They did. But, like, do you get what I'm saying? It's like you can't just eyeball it based off the past. Like, Creighton, for example, the other night.
Yeah.
I saw that line, and I'm like, you know, Creighton's been good this year.
Oh, man.
And I didn't bet it. Oh, I didn't bet it.
Thank God.
But, oh, I saw other people did.
That would have been so bad for you, man. I would have,
like,
felt
terrible. Not to plug Barstool or anything, but, like, did you see Press? Like, he didn't move.
I know. Do you, I don't know if you guys follow Marty Mush on Twitter, but he is the funniest dude. Because,
so I'm going with that, okay? Last night, UCLA, okay?
No, here we go. Perfect.
I watched the game because Bill Walton was on the commentary.
Yeah.
He was awesome last night. There's this big guy named Moses on UCLA, and he goes, "Follow Moses." And I start dying because of Bill Walton. They were down 9 points with 59 seconds left. And they had a chance to win the game with a free throw at the end that went into overtime, and they won outright. That should not happen at Oregon. Like, that to me was the worst beat I've seen. And I heard that Mr. Marty Mush was on that game.
Dude, he's on a bad beat every single night. And I swear, he loses his mind. And it is just, it's gold, dude. He somehow finds a game to lose every single night. Every night without fail.
If that was me, I would, like, tease the other way or do something, because it's always going to come right around the number.
I mean, college basketball, dude, is real sharp. Especially with lines. Not necessarily over-unders. But, you know, lines are real sharp. I will say, as a giveaway, because I gave out BYU 17 last night, the reason I like BYU, first off, you know, because the team they're playing, Portland, is terrible. But in reality, when you look at a line like that, forget about the actual teams, because I like the matchup for BYU. But just people ask me how to read lines. Well, you know, what do you do in regards to that? BYU is a 17-point favorite in a conference game versus, you know, getting, you know, maybe 50-55% of the bet, whatever, and the line wasn't moving that much. When you see these big lines, you know, like, and again, I haven't really looked at tomorrow's slate for college basketball because there's so many freaking games.
Well, I'll give you Wofford as one. They're 13-4 this year. They've been rolling. They're 18-point favorites on the road.
Yeah. So Wofford is one. Yeah, I had them the other night. Actually, they covered for me, so that was huge. But when you see these huge favorites facing teams that are, you know, okay. Like, they're not, like, the worst team in the conference or whatever. And there's these big lines. Like, I know VMI. Wofford's playing VMI, right?
Yep.
Yeah, VMI sucks.
Southern tomorrow, sorry.
No, they're playing Wofford's at VMI, aren't they?
I was just looking at it a second ago here.
I think it's VMI.
Oh, yeah, VMI. Yeah. Why did it say Southern?
So VMI sucks.
Southern Conference.
Okay, yeah, VMI sucks. So VMI is like, I wouldn't touch that game just because.
They're 6-10, they're 2-8 against the
Spurs. Yeah, VMI is terrible. They're always terrible. So, like, that's just, like, one of the games I probably wouldn't touch. But, like, you know, people ask me why I bet these dogs and why I bet dogs in college basketball. This is what I do is I bet the spread and I sprinkle the money line in almost all these bets. It's just there's so many underdog winners. I mean, who did I hit last night? Oh, Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic, 7.5 last night was one of my favorite plays that I actually just got in. It was the only bet I got in on time before 7.
Can I throw one in for Saturday?
Yeah, absolutely.
Number 9, Kansas at Baylor. Baylor's getting 3.5 points.
You like
Kansas 0-2 on the road this year.
So you like Baylor at home?
No, I'm just to me, is that a square play that I love Kansas?
Yes.
Rock Jack Jayhawk.
1,000%. What time is that game?
4 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah. I think that Baylor will probably be you'll probably see some money early on Baylor. There'll be money coming back on Kansas. I actually think that one's probably going to be pretty. That's probably going to be pretty evenly bet, right? You'd have to assume.
Win a conference against a highly ranked team that people will probably bet on.
Yeah, no, you're right. That'll probably be evenly bet. I actually don't think that's that square, to be honest with you.
All right,
I take that back. I don't think that's that square.
I think I'm going to bet that one tomorrow.
I don't think that one's that's a square. But you know me, I like to do my college basketball. And again, betting college basketball very similar to the NBA. It's a spot game. You have to look ahead for schedules in college basketball because what these teams do, and a lot of these teams, because they're kids, they'll say, we're going to roll the balls out against Northern Kentucky and we're going to crush them. So let's look ahead to, you know, Minnesota or whoever they're playing. So it's a huge look ahead spot for all these college basketball teams. And if you know their schedules, I'm telling you, you'll make some good money because these kids, they look ahead a lot.
Let me give you one.
Okay.
Kentucky's at home tomorrow. 13-point favorite against Vanderbilt, who's a pretty respectable team in that conference. I think people will hammer Kentucky, but I'm going to see who Kentucky plays next because, I don't know. I mean, do you think Kentucky would roll in that type of situation?
So this is exactly the type of situation I looked at BYU last night. And again, I know nothing about the other factors, right? I haven't looked at them at all. Vandy's a decent team. You know, they're not great, but
9-5. I mean,
yeah, they're not great, but they're a pretty good basketball team, right? So why is Kentucky laying 13 against them? The way I look at it is they want you to be on Vandy. They want you to be on Vandy. The line says to me that they want you to bet Vandy without a question. And I think that Kentucky, I mean, again, I know nothing. I haven't looked at anything. But just based off that, that would be the type of game that I would like to bet. You know, as long as I can find an edge there, that would be the type of game where I look and say, Kentucky? Yeah, pretty good. You know, because then they have South Carolina, Mississippi State, and Tennessee. And then Oklahoma and Kentucky again. So, you know, this is the gauntlet for them. And they just got killed by Georgia. They lost to Ole Miss. They're in kind of a two-game skid right now. I would not be surprised if Kentucky rolls them tomorrow. Would not be surprised at all.
I also, one other thing we should mention is that there's going to be a lot of Sunday NBA games, like national television Sunday games. I'm not sure what we have this week. I'll take a quick peek. I haven't really handy. And that's what I mean. We can't really handicap something on a, Friday. But, like, I'm just looking at it that day, like Cleveland versus L.A. Is that going to be the return of LeBron James in L.A. against his former team and his groin?
Yep, that is.
There it is. Yep.
That is. And I don't think he's obviously not going to play, right? So
I don't know, actually.
I've heard that injury is way worse than we're being told.
I saw three more games the other day.
Yeah, So, I mean, he's definitely not going to play in that one. I actually think that Golden State-Dallas – that game is going to be.
There's going to be money all over the board that day. Toronto, Washington, Philly, New York. Like, everybody will bet that. Milwaukee, Atlanta. Dude, Atlanta's going to be like 14-point dogs.
They're on the road, right?
Atlanta's at home.
Atlanta's at home, yeah. Okay, well, then I would say in that case.
And will Giannis play?
I'd say probably eight or nine.
Yeah.
8 or 9.
But that Golden State Dallas, like, Dallas was they're winning tonight last I looked.
Dallas is an elite home team, and they're a very subpar to crappy road team. Dallas at home versus Golden State, man. I'm telling you, Golden State's going to win huge tonight. There's going to be a lot of money on Golden State. I like Dallas. I mean, again, I don't know the line. I can't give you anything. But just if you're looking ahead, Dallas is in a good spot there. I actually think New York is in a half-decent spot versus Philly. Philly sucks right now. Philly cannot buy a W. They just lost to Atlanta tonight. I'm telling you, I think New York might. I mean, I don't know. Again, I don't know the line. I can definitely talk about tomorrow's games. Like the Clippers laying 7 at home versus the Pistons. I don't really think there's much there. The Heat and Grizzlies over under 196.5. That's the total tomorrow.
Indiana. I hate the Heat. I watched that Celtics game the other night. The Heat are not a well-conditioned roster.
I don't know. The Heat laying 4.5 tomorrow versus the Grizzlies. I kind of like the Heat.
And they're at home, and they just came off a big win.
Yep, and the Grizzlies just came off a big win versus San Antonio. I think you'll probably see an even split there.
How about that Celtics-Orlando?
Yeah, 6.5. The Celtics are always going to be favored about, 60-90%. They're always going to be favored by 6 to 7 points. Man, it's hard for me to back that Celtics right now. I don't have any faith in that team. I just don't. Do you remember we had a talk a couple of weeks ago and we said, what's the issue with the Celtics? What's the issue? And I told you it was Jalen Brown.
Remember? Yeah, there was a video that was published last night from social media that shows Jalen Brown and Marcus Morris getting into it. But it looks like Morris was trying to be like, get your shit together more than fighting with him.
Yeah, but we talked about this. Jalen Brown, there are some issues there, man. There are some issues with that kid. I think
he's looking ahead to a future contract.
I think you are correct. I think he wants to score 30 points a game instead of being known as a lockdown elite defender because you don't get paid for that like you do for being a 30 point per game guy. He knows he's not going to, if he becomes an elite lockdown defender, he's going to average like maybe 10 points a game. And I don't think that he feels
paid off. But I mean, Marcus Smart got $14 million a year. Why can't Jalen Brown?
Maybe he feels he wants a max contract.
Come on, buddy.
I mean, I'm just putting it out there. That's all. I will put this out there, by the way, Joe. And again, this is just a podcast special. Do not be surprised if Lonzo Ball is traded by the deadline.
Whatever.
There are some issues in LA too. It ain't just Boston, folks. There are some issues in LA. Issues in LA, especially with LeBron. But getting back to the slate, Celtics 6.5 tomorrow. I think the Celtics are the right side in that. The over under is a 213.5. I'm telling you, I lean over that. I lean over in the over 213.5. I think that's the best play there. The Pelicans, T Wolves. That's going to be a weird game, man. I wouldn't touch that one at all. Maybe the over, but I would not touch that one. And then the Hornets and Kings. Kings are 5.5-point favorites. Good home team. The over-under is a 235. I expect that in the Pelicans game. The Hornets and Kings set a 235, man. Wow. That is an overplay. There's no lines yet for San Antonio, Oklahoma City, and Denver, Phoenix. So we don't have anything there. And I don't even have a line for Chicago, Utah, though I expect UConn will probably open like 10, 11-point favorites because they're at home. So that's my guess. I think there's a good chance that the Hornets do cover tomorrow in Sacramento, though. I like that.
So that's a look at NBA, NHL. This is what we're going to be doing when football is over, people. So get used to it. And I'm sure Dan's going to be putting together models of over-unders. And well, I just bet it and forget it.
Yeah, we have different ways of betting it. No need to hurt my feelings, Joe. I think what we'll do is we'll probably look ahead to some pretty important games weekly, and we can definitely touch on the day's slate, and maybe we'll touch on 2 day slates, just kind of looking ahead and give out some future bets. Russell Westbrook, for instance, right now at the books is -152 to be the assist leader in the NBA. And he's leading by almost an assist and a half per game. So outside of an injury, I mean, can you not bet that at -150? In my opinion, that's a hammer play. So I think there are some good value props. that you can get throughout the year. We'll definitely be discussing those too, and as we go. And then once we get into the NBA playoffs, Joe, I mean, really, you know the drill. That must be your wheelhouse, man.
All right, well, we'll wrap it up there, Dan. I'm from Parts Unknown. You're at the studio. Props to you. This has been Over Under 985. Again, you can DM us, follow us, Over Under 985, at Dan Lifshitz, at Joey Merrick. Enjoy your divisional round weekend. It's Over Under 985.
Who you got?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.